Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
And we have Nurse Sarah Kearns in studio. Good morning, Mrs.
Good morning.
We've lots to talk about. Loads. But we're going to focus on what's going on at the moment. Because, I mean, listeners might relate to this. You know, you have a sore throat, you have a cough, you have a runny nose, and immediately you think, I've COVID. You do a test, it's negative. You do more tests, they're all negative. And you're like, hang on, what is going on? You actually don't have COVID, you just have a cold. So tell us more. How should we be treating this? What's going on?
Well, there's loads of people are saying they've common colds. And the reason is because we're all now back at work. We're all in school. There was good weather last week.
Yeah.
Right, so we're all out and about. But now we're back inside. It's actually colder today. So we're all back at school. So all of that, actually, that's what's something. There wasn't as many common colds around the place during COVID because we were at home. We weren't mixing as much. So now we're back at pubs or at events and all that sort of stuff. So it's spreading. What the common cold is a virus. We talk about viruses. We love a virus. It's called the rhinovirus. And what it is, it's a virus that gets in and it affects the membranes of your nose and throat. So a common cold is very sort of specific around your nose and throat, right? So if you imagine it happens in winter because of all our mixing and just like viruses, it lives for about 3 hours when, you know, like you should sneeze into your elbow when you do, you know, that's kind of a respectful thing to do for people around you because it can live for about 3 hours. This virus, if you sneeze onto something, a surface, it can live for 3 hours and then people can pick it up, but they can touch it and pick it up and it passes.
That's
from
good
people.
To know.
It's really good. It's really contagious. But the reason that this was something when I was doing a bit of research, I suppose I hadn't really appreciated it. During winter, when it's cold but it's dry, your nose membranes get dry. And if you imagine you're pouring water onto dry sand, it gets absorbed really easily, right? So our noses are dry, the epithelium, so the skin inside our nose is really dry. It absorbs viruses much easier in the winter. Then we're passing and we're in close contact. So it kind of just spreads really easily in the winter months up until about March. But we are seeing a spike at the moment and that's just because we're out in society more now.
Well, come on, Sarah.
I know.
We're all washing our hands.
I know. Maybe not enough.
Do you think so?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But you know what? It's going to... Do you know a common cold is the leading cause of people not being in work or school? Absenteeism. A common cold. People can get so mingy cold. So if you think about it, it's around the nose and throat, right? So the main symptoms are like, you know, the runny nose. Then you have the sore throat, sneezing, obviously, because your nose is getting really irritated. You can get a headache, and that is part of the reason that you get a headache because you get dehydrated. You just feel kind of generally unwell. You might get dehydrated. You wouldn't be eating properly. But also, your sinuses can get full of gunk. And if your sinuses get full, then that can lead to a headache. So headaches are quite common. A mild cough. And if you ever heard that babies get this an awful lot, nasal drip. So basically, some of the snot drips down the back of your nose and it can go down into your throat and then into your lungs and cause a bit kind of a mild cough and sort of an ear. So it's like a scratchy cough. You can get mild fatigue. Now, the interesting thing, I guess, with the common cold as opposed to the flu, the differences are they're caused by different viruses, right? So the flu is caused by influenza virus and it's kind of an umbrella term for that virus. But it's because it's more isolated to your upper body, right? So you can get mild temperatures, like very, very mild, which you can take paracetamol for. But for the flu, it hits you like a train.
Yeah.
So if you get access, so just say you come in contact with somebody with a cold, right, 2 to 3 days after, you might start developing symptoms, but it's a gradual onset. And you can kind of feel a bit achy, but not like the flu. Have you ever had the flu?
I don't think so.
So if this is something we laugh at as nurses, if you've ever had the flu, you will instantly go, yes, I did. It was December 2015 and you'll remember it. It's awful. That's why I get a flu jab every single year. The flu is awful. You are absolutely bedridden. It comes on all of a sudden. So you might be grand in the morning, the evening, you're like, and you're inside in the bed. You are aches and pains, the sweating, you're sweating through your bed sheets. The flu is miserable. And the reason is it's a different virus. It gets into your body and it's totally systemic.
Okay.
Like, so you have high temperatures with the flu, you can get really, really sick. And actually the elderly then can get, and I'm more
pneumonia.
Vulnerable people. Yes. And you can get, you see, because just say the cold and the flu, right? And they might be viruses, but they can develop, just say your sinuses get full of gunk. They can then get infected as a result of the gunk being in your sinuses
or down in. So how do you treat a cold then to make sure you don't get to that stage?
So it's all about symptom management with viruses.
Okay.
It's like COVID, like everything we're talking about COVID. So antibiotics are for bacterial infections. So just say you have a cold that goes down into your lungs, then all this snot pools in your lungs and you can get an infection that can turn into a bacterial infection at that stage. So that's when you could go, if you start getting really high temperatures with a cold and a really kind of hockey cough. Remember with a cough as well, when you are coughing up phlegm. This is so gross. I know your face. Go.
Go on.
The colour of it is really important. So the darker it is, and you can actually gauge you're getting better by the colour of your phlegm. So when you, or your sputum, as we call it.
Sputum.
So when you are coughing it up, if it's really sort of browny green, you know you're sick. And then you'll, over the next day, it'll be lighter colour until it's just clear again and you'll be grand. But it's just that, just say you have a cold, then all of a sudden you get a really productive cough. You are coughing up so much and it's a dark green and you start getting temperatures. Definitely, that would be an indication to go, maybe go and speak to your doctor. But in terms of common cold, it's all about symptom management. So it's all about going to your pharmacy. There's a couple of things you could do.
Go on.
I am such a fan. See, some people are more susceptible to colds. I don't really get them. But you see, my little fella, he's nearly one and he gets so many colds. He's always...
Same as mine.
Oh, so a couple of things that I do for him. I am such a fan of the Vicks, the old school stuff. The Vicks on the chest, and you can get a baby version of that. Just lather their chest. And what that is, it's basically this, it clears the nose and it kind of, you know, it can kind of clear out your nasal passage. So that just means it's easier for them to breathe, less nasal drip, and that they're going to sleep better, okay? Albus oil is so good. So for us adults, we can just put it on a pillowcase. Or what I do with him is that I get a muslin cloth, put the, you can get baby albus oil, it's a lower strength. I put the muslin cloth and then I just put it under where his head is in the cot. So over-the-counter stuff can really help. A nasal spray, and you can get that actually in a baby form as well. So if you need to clear the nose before you go sleep, because that's what stops you really sleeping, a bit of coughing, but it's the blocked nose.
Yeah, somebody said to me, a doctor said to me once, it's so important to teach your kids how to blow their nose properly.
Well, they all need to come to Sheila. My mum is the epic. She's all my kids. She absolutely hunkers down on that exact point when they're about two.
Really?
And teaches them all. It is brilliant to be able to teach them that they can do it themselves.
And for clearing their ears and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like in the list of parenting, it's not up
why
there.
Why is it on there?
I just feel we should make a list someday.
Yeah, we should definitely do that next time you're in. Yeah. So how does she get them? Because my young one is brilliant, but he hates doing it.
I think it's like, oh, just making such a big deal when they blow in, oh, you're great.
Clapping,
and hold the tissue, clapping. Look at that, you're a big boy, you can do it. And it's all just about constant encouragement and practice. But if he can blow his nose, it's a total winner. Because then his nose, and if he's in school, he can clear himself and he'd be far more comfortable.
Yeah.
But you know, as well, I was thinking about this as well. One thing that I do that I think seems really help. If you ever have a cold for adults, kids, everyone, put Vaseline, just slather it around the bottom of your nose because it can get so cracked and sore with the constant. Those, you know, those tissues with the built-in balm into the,
they're
really good. Yeah, they're just softer.
Do you turn off the heat in their room if they have a cold?
No, I actually don't. But I know that there is a school of thought saying, listen, it's better. They say that you should go to sleep anyway. You shouldn't be in a colder room anyway. Have more clothes on you, but because it's better for your nasal passage. The only thing is, when we kind of think about humidity, I suppose it will dry out their nasal passage if it is too warm, you know, and then maybe it'll make things worse. Maybe try it. There is good thought. Do I do it personally? No, I kind of keep it. I never have the room super hot. They only have them. I actually don't use a thermometer, and you can get, you know, the room thermometers, and you
just turn
it.
The radiator down.
Yeah.
And save
our
on
house
your
is
bills
so cold.
As well.
Like when the wind blows, our curtains move. Like it's our house is so cold. Everyone wears loads of clothes.
Grand.
Oh, my brother actually refuses to come to our house for the winter months. He's like, I can't. How do you live like this?
There's a phobia. We were talking about it during the week. People who are afraid of being cold. I can't remember what it's called. Tell your brother. He probably
so
has
need
that.
To
my
live
sister
in
A-rated
houses. I'd say if we were going to sell our house and someone had to come for you, I'd say people are like, no, this is actually unsellable.
Yeah, you
this
should sell it in the summer. Sell it in the summer. One of the hottest days. Yeah. That's all.
My husband's home place has the water on this bedside will freeze. If it's cold outside, that is how cold. Like
wow.
His duvet lifts and wind blows.
Oh,
it's so
amazing, amazing. Sarah, can I ask you, if you have a cold or whatever, so when should you go to the GP? I mean,
so
should
really,
you bother them really with a cold?
You shouldn't really bother them. Listen, having a cold is miserable, right? But you should get better after maybe 2 or 3 days and you should notice a big improvement. It'll probably take a week to clear everything we know about COVID, same thing. Probably take a week to clear. So just say with a cold, all of a sudden you start getting temperatures like 39 and you have a productive cough, or just say you could have sinusitis, which is awful, like really bad headaches. you feel completely blocked, but and you get a temperature with it, it's just a sign that you might have a bacterial infection. So you could contact the GP then. But in terms of the normal stuff with the cold, just go with it. Nutrition is so important. And I was talking to my sister about this.
For prevention.
This is a part of the reason, you know, that they've been plugging vitamin D because of COVID. It's the same thing. It's such an immune booster. So it's really good for you. Take vitamin D sort of from September to March if you can. So the dark winter months, you know. So just to focus on, Orla was saying as well that vitamin C through food is really important as opposed to a supplement. So vitamin C is an immuno booster as well, boosts your immune system. But she was saying if you're an athlete, maybe take it because you might just need that extra little bit, because it's so much better to take it through food. So vitamin C rich foods, you know, the orange juices and things. And to take it through food, echinacea. We're big echinacea takers in our house. Definitely, they can boost. That's a herbal supplement for boosting immune. She was just saying that the interesting thing is if you try and research herbal supplements, it's too much because they don't know. Some echinacea supplements are from the leaf of the echinacea plant, and others are from the stalk and things. So it's a bit mixed. But we definitely are advocates of it in our house.
Okay.
It'll do no harm.
Okay.
Take it for the winter months.
So load up on your vitamin D and your vitamin C, and make sure your nutrition and your diet is bang on. You're getting a variety of foods and veg.
Yeah,
and
just look after yourself and fluids. And if just rest, if you get a cold, rest. Go to your pharmacy. Like a decongestant is really handy. Like, and you know, for just getting rid of. So if you think about your nose is running, you could take an antihistamine for that to clear up those secretions. So that could be really handy. Go to your pharmacy and talk about decongestants. Maybe take a paracetamol if you have a headache. Nasal sprays, and then the Albus oil is brilliant.
It's interesting because obviously we were talking about first aid kits a while ago, and so important to have a certain amount of things in your press. Now, today,
as
I run to the chemist, I'm going to get some vitamin D supplements. I'm going to get some nasal sprays. I'm going to get some Vicks and Albus oil just in case.
We could have like a tiered first aid system, so we'd have the ultimate box for like actual emergencies and then for the...
Because it always happens at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
It's never like
but
when you finish
nasal
work.
Spray is so handy because you can just squirt it. It's just that salty one. You squirt up the nose and it clears
Brilliant.
The nose.
Brilliant
and then
for babies.
Lash on the Vicks. The Vicks, and I put Vicks under the nose, it's probably a bit cruel, just on the chest. I know some people say behind the ears, the back is really good, yeah.
Okay, well, great tips, Nurse Sarah Kearns. Thank you so much.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.